Welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf, the show that lifts the lid on New Zealand's distilling magic. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf, your guide to the flavours, the people and the inspiration behind our top local spirits. We'll hear what drives these distillers to create their signature blends and maybe discover a new favourite along the way. So whether you're a gin lover or a whiskey wizard, join us on the ride and always keep it classy and drink responsibly. Kia ora and welcome to another episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrig from the New Zealand Spirit Guide, and today we're heading to a very special spot in Coatesville, just outside of Auckland, where a lavender farm has bloomed into something much bigger. Lavender Hill Farm is a place that speaks to all the senses. I visited recently and honestly, I was blown away, not just by the views across Auckland City, or the calm of the lavender fields, or the joy of feeding the alpacas, but by how much heart and care has gone into growing it into something truly special. What started as a humble lavender farm is now a home to a boutique distillery, rows of olives and citrus trees, honeybees, and a stunning four-bedroom B&B that makes it feel like a true escape. Joining me today is Jason, who along with his lovely wife Trish took over Lavender Hill around 10 years ago and has spent the last decade transforming it. Jason, welcome and thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Susie. Great to be here.
Wonderful. Right. Now, before we dive into the farm, I know Lavender Hill isn't exactly your full-time job. What is it that you do during the week and where does your skill for building and crafting come from?
Thanks, Susie. Yes. No, the days are busy. During the week, I'm actually the CEO at Lotto New Zealand, which gives a nice contrast to life on the farm, I have to say. My skill for building and crafting, I was brought up on 10 acres out of Bethels Beach, so I guess I had a fairly practical upbringing. But I guess it's more just the attitude of giving it a go. There's plenty of places out there you can find help, and YouTube's been fantastic for the first time you do everything. But it's really just giving a go and then improving from there. So everything can be done if you've got the right mindset. And I'll just run, I'll be doing the talking today, but Trish is the other half of the operation, and a huge credit goes to her as well. I'd be in big trouble if I didn't say that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was going to mention, and then of course, then there's your lovely wife, Trish, who is full-time in the business. So obviously you're CEO of Lotto and her full-time in the business. How do you make that balance work?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It's the question I get asked all the time when it comes up. What it comes down to is very long hours. And it comes down to your leisure. The things I like doing for leisure are things I like doing around the farm and, you know, jumping on the tractor, doing the fencing, making the gin, grabbing the sculptures, all those things I sort of think is downtime, not work time. I think that is what keeps you sane. But I have to say, at the end of 10 years, it's a lot of hard work for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is amazing. Okay. So you took over Lavender Hill as an established lavender farm. What was it like when you first arrived and what drew you into purchasing the property?
Yeah, so it was quite run down when we bought it. So the elements were here. So the B&B was here, the lavender fields were here, the olive groves were here, but it was all quite run down, but it had a certain magic to it. And it was a combination of those things as a small business. So it was a small business along with those assets. It's got a very cool main house. It's an Ian Burrows designed main house. It'd be separate to the main house. So think 1960s, 70s, curved walls, plaster concrete, that kind of thing. So it's really, it's an awesome house with awesome views. And it was commutable from the city. So at the time, I was on the exec team out of Auckland Airport. And I would commute daily all the way from here out to Auckland Airport. So the fact that you could maintain a job, commute, and then have this sort of magical place that had a lot of potential, and that's what attracted us in the first place.
Wonderful. Okay, so when you stepped in, what were some of the early things that you wanted to develop or shift, and what did you want to leave completely untouched?
I think the untouched part is a very short list, and I'm struggling to think of anything that has been untouched. So we hadn't done too much. We replaced one. We got two lavender fields. We replaced one of them because they were old, so we had to rip it out and replace that one. And the olive trees have been relatively untouched, other than lots of very heavy pruning, which is probably the most backbreaking job on the farm. But then everything else has changed. The product lineup has changed. The branding has changed. We've introduced new technology, websites, e-commerce, had to replace the roof on the house, replace 90 old rafters. You know, so there's been a lot of change. We had to fence the whole place, had a boundary fence, but no stock fences and things. So pretty much everything has been worked on and changed and improved. And I would probably put it into three buckets. So it's what do you need to change and improve on the farm? What do we need to do on the house? And then what did we need to do on the business? And all of those have had a long project list behind them.
Right. Okay. So you have added a lot of layers. You've added more lemon trees to make limoncello. You've made more added more olive trees. You've also added Seville oranges, the kaffir limes, and the slow berries for the gin botanicals. The bees, you've obviously ramped up the accommodation, and of course the distillery with your new brand spanking new shop. Did you always envision such a broad venture, or did the ideas grow as you went along?
I think it's fair to say it's evolved over time. So sort of had in our mind what we wanted the property to look like and have achieved that. And then it's been really around how we enhance the customer experience. That's what's driven most of it, is turn from a thing to an experience, or a product into an experience. And that's probably what has evolved the most. So the gins, to bring on the gin still, because we used to have our products made, I'll get into the shortly, but our used to have our products made externally after we did the product development. But the still was all about A, producing the bin, but then providing another branch to the customer experience and farm tours. So that's a good example. Of that. Buying our packers was all about giving the tourists an experience. So these things have all grown to make Lavender Hill an experience for people who come from the outside in.
Right. So let's talk about when someone does visit Lavender Hill, whether they're coming for a tasting or a walk through the fields or even staying the night, what will they see, smell, and experience across the land? Paint a picture for us of what it's like to be there.
Your phrase there about seeing, touching, tasting probably wraps it all up quite well, and you get to do all of that. So on the accommodation side, what we want the guests to experience is really high quality accommodation. I've used New Zealand made linen sheets. We've got artwork. It's warm and cozy and quiet, and that's really important for people. And then when they come from farm tours, it is about experiencing those different layers, and people are really intrigued about how you do things. As we do through the years, as we've been doing the farm tours, it's gone more from just looking at the lavender fields and flowering, because when we first started, that's what most people came to do, was just look at the lavender. Now it's about understanding how we make the lavender oil. So we've got a lavender still, making lavender and tea tree oil. So they get to learn how that is done. They get to learn how olive oil is made. They get to learn how gin is made, and how all these different things come together. They get to learn about alpacas and how they get shorn. And those sorts of things. So you just see the lights go on in people's eyes as it becomes looking at something to actually understanding how small farms and small businesses work, and how you get a gorgeous gin or a gorgeous olive oil at the end of the harvest. So that's I think is the really enjoyable part.
Yeah, because what many people probably don't realize is that as I learnt, that the lavender season is only 5 weeks of the year.
Yeah, really short. So we've kept the lavender because it's more the hook. So people love the idea of coming to a lavender farm, but commercial lavender, which is what you grow for lavender oil, only really flowers from mid-December through to mid to late January, and then it's all over. Only flowers once a year. You get one harvest, and that's your lot.
That's so it.
Again, which is why gin becomes quite good, because you can make that all year round. So.
Absolutely. Now, what part of the journey has brought you most pride? You know, maybe something that you felt was a bit of a leap in time?
I think there's been a few things. So I think one, getting awards, whether it be for the gin or the lavender oil and things like that, is really important, because that's outside recognition. So that's one one moment. Just seeing the number of repeat customers is really cool because then you know you're making something that people like and keep coming back for, particularly when it comes to gin, because it's so competitive out there. So having a, you know, a good, strong repeat customer base that always gives me pleasure. In the last few years, people have been applauding at the end of a farm tour. How great's that? So I never thought I'd expect that. But again, because it's not just what people are seeing, it's they understand what goes into making a property like this work and make the products work, and people have had a great experience. So it's lots of small things, like no one thing, it's just lots of small things. And then sometimes we just sit down at the end of the day and watch the sunset. It's just as rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. And by gosh, have you got the spot for that? Then on the flip side, has there been a venture that was trickier than you expected or that you're still sort of refining?
I think we're in the middle of looking what we want to do with Limoncello and sort of creating a Limoncello spritzer. And that's been quite tricky to pull the different elements together. So the product development through to the bottling, because a lot of that will have to be done externally, not by us.
Yeah.
We don't have those sorts of canning facilities and things like that. But trying to find that at a relatively small scale and in a way that can still return a good margin is trickier than I would have thought. So we've yet to nail that one. And probably the other one is, you know, we're lucky enough here that a lot of our product is sold through the farm shop online. We've got a dozen or so retailers and duty-free that we sell through, but we haven't cracked the nut of large-scale distribution and retail yet.
Yeah.
We're quite happy to have doing what we are doing, because we're very vertically integrated and we capture a lot of the margin. But I think for scale, we need to do more of that. So that's another challenge that we need to get across.
Right. Okay. Now we've touched a little bit on the B&B. It is absolutely stunningly beautiful. Quoll Mark 4-star. Can you describe what it's like to stay there and who it's best suited to?
So, I think it's wonderful to stay there. It's calming and relaxing. And I think because people have got something to do, they can do, like if they stay with us, we give them a tour of the farm and things like that. So they feel much more connected to the place than they would if they were staying somewhere else. And to have that so close to Auckland, because we're only 30 minutes away from Auckland, but you're in a rural location close to the vineyards of Kinu and Alatau and Riverhead Tavern, all those sorts of things to do. Most of our B&B business is from the local wedding market. So the bridal party or the family, the groom or bride will stay with us as people get married. There's a good half dozen other places to get married in this area. And then really just Auckland is for getaways. And we are seeing more and more international tourists as well. Over the last year, definitely more from the US and Singapore has been quite good as well.
Okay.
And they tend to use, we're a great place either for your first night coming into Auckland or your last couple of nights before you leave, because we're only 45 minutes from the airport.
Right, perfect. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about the distilling. When did that part of the journey begin and what drew you in to start making your own spirits?
Yeah, so we started back in 2017 and this will sound a bit unusual to some of your normal listeners, but it was actually driven probably by a commercial decision more than anything. So at the time, as I said, I was out at Auckland Airport and doing some work with the duty-free providers and could see from there, talking to them, that boutique gin, just so gin and particularly boutique gins were the fastest growing spirits globally in terms of growth. So I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. And did a bit of Googling and discovered that there was a lavender gin out of the UK. There's none here in New Zealand. So I sort of put two and two together, and with a penchant for alcohol, I thought this is a good combination. How do we get those two things happening together? And did a bunch of product development and then had the gin made externally. And then around the same time, we're doing Limoncello as well, because we grow the Yen Bin lemons here on the farm. So all of our Limoncello uses lemons from the farm. So those are the first two that we pulled together, and it sort of clicked with customers and we went from there. And then once you make one gin, you tend to make a few more and some others followed. So again, it was about, yeah, how do we add value to the farm? How do we do more than a traditional lavender farm? Because what we didn't want to have was a traditional lavender farm.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to have having something much broader than that. So having a range that included gins and limoncello was the first stepping stone, really.
So when you bought the property, did you sort of have the idea of gin and limoncello when you looked at it, or did it sort of come after you were had lived on the property for a little bit?
The limoncello was earlier because the previous owner had made a pretty rough limoncello because there were about 120 lemon trees on the property. So we turned it into a commercial limoncello as opposed to one you just make in your backyard. And that started, it was about a year after that that we got into the gins.
Right. Okay. So what was the learning curve like moving from a farm-based growing to actually crafting spirits from your botanicals?
Yeah, it was big, same but different. Maybe that's the best way to do it, because we already had a lavender still, so I was sort of comfortable working with stills and steam and machinery and so forth. And when you're in a farm like this, there's two sides to it. When I often tell people on the farm tour, there's the growing it and then there's the selling it. And so yep. We knew that we could do both because we had those foundations that were there, and you need to have both of those skill sets. So I knew if we made the gin and we did a good job of the branding and the quality of the product and the marketing, that we have the confidence that we'd be able to sell it. We, as I said before, we teamed up with others to help make the gins in the first instance, and then it was about selling it and distributing it through the farm shop. When it came to getting the still, I'll give a shout out here to Ben Leggett at Elemental, because he helped do some of the original consulting and that with us on the type of still that we needed and the recipe. So having that sort of skill set behind you was really valuable when it came to doing it on your own.
I see. Yeah. This is what I love about the industry, is that everyone helps each other else.
Yeah, it is a very helpful industry. Yeah. We have actually found, because we belong to Distillers Aotearoa, as well as New Zealand Olives, as well as New Zealand Lavender Growers, which is part of all of those. And I have to, again, I'll take my hat off to those associations. They are all very open. They're all very friendly. You just have to ask a question and people will help you out. So yeah. You're not... In those forums, you're not so much competitors, you're collaborators, and you're trying to make the industry better. Those associations are really good for a learning curve as well.
Okay, awesome. Now, let's talk about your gorgeous lineup. You've got your lavender gin, limoncello, you do a delicious slow gin from your very own grown slow berries. And my favourite, your smoked honey gin. Is a next level gin. How much of what goes into the bottle is grown right there on site?
Well, I'd say now that we're making it in-house, there's something from on-site in all of them, because we use rosemary and lemon peel from the farm in our London Dry gin, which is the base for some of the other gins. But the honey comes from the farm. We've teamed up with Jessie Baker from Bees Up Top. She's our beekeeper. So the honey that's in the honey gin actually comes from the beehives on the farm. As you're saying, the slow berries come from the slow trees. People often question, but you can't get slow berries in New Zealand. You can. And we're growing them. The lavender comes from the farm. So they all use products. Because we do a pre-made Negroni as well, and that uses our London Dry gin as the base, so that will have elements in there as well. So the only one that doesn't, does it in the base, but our saffron, we don't grow saffron here, but we use saffron from an organic saffron farm in the South Island, a New Zealand saffron in that. So, and that's our proposition, is trying to do in group some sort of the farm to glass concept.
Yeah.
Right. And then over time, we'll start to grow some more of the botanicals.
Wonderful. Okay. Now, are there any sort of, you spoke about your limoncello spritzer. Are there any other new recipes or flavour experiments or small batch ideas that you're playing with at the moment?
No, that would be the main one that we'll think about over the next sort of 6 month period, is getting that up and running. So, yeah, that's the main one for now. And then I'm sure I've got another idea. A year ago, I hadn't thought of doing a pre-made Negroni, and it's because I'm a big fan of Negroni. I thought, give that one a nudge.
And that's much, really well. Much easier to just have it in a bottle and pour it. Okay, so looking ahead, there, with so much already happening at Lavender Hill, the farm, the distillery, and the B&B, what's next? You've got your beautiful new tasting room. Are there any future plans that you're excited about, or are you literally just now in a phase of refining and enjoying what you've already built?
I think it's more the refining and enjoying. So what we're keen to do is scale up some more. Now that might be dependent on how long I'm CEO as well, because I don't have a lot more capacity in there. So part of it will be ultimately how do we scale up? That's sort of on the radar. And then always keen to do collaborations. So, you know, often, you know, people are happy to chat about different collaborations. I think there's a lot of merit in that. Mm-hmm. And then probably the one I'll personally spend a bit more time in, we really want to enhance the e-commerce site and the social media and the digital marketing site, really, because I think that will help us from the scalability perspective. And being an old school marketer and working for many marketing agencies over time, I'd rather do it ourselves than have others do it. So I think there's some time to be invested in that, which will pay good returns.
Absolutely. Right, now finally, Jason, it's the end of the working week. It's Friday night. What's the go-to drink of yours, and how do you like to enjoy it?
So I am spoiled for choice, I have to say. So if it's a Friday night and it's nice and warm and I can look at the view, I would probably go for our pre-made Negroni, just on ice. That's a nice reflective drink in my mind at the end of the hard week. But then I'll often go to El Saffron just with ice. I find that really good because the robustness of the saffron comes through. It's almost like having a whiskey without that sharpness that's in the pinhole of a gin. So that's often a go-to. And then if I was just having a G&T, it's honestly pick and mix because they're all good. So and it's probably more of a choice about what's the type of tonic than the gin.
Sorry. Yeah, right. What tonic's available that I can that goes best with the different gin? I know I would certainly be having that smoked honey. It's outstanding. Well, thank you for joining me. It's been such a treat hearing your story behind Lavender Hill. You and Trish have really done something truly special there, blending land, flavour and experience into something that feels truly grounded and welcoming. So thank you for joining me, Jason.
Thank you very much. Great to chat.
Now, if you're in Lavender Hill and has sparked your curiosity, whether it's the spirits or a stay or the scent of lavenders in the air, you can find out more at nzspiritguide.com. Until next time, stay curious, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelves full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more behind the bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.